How would you feel about a nice piece of chocolate cake right now? I see it's a smile. Smile over here, chocolate cake. That's what I'm talking about. How about a perfect day out on a golf course or a hike? Sounds good, right? As human beings, this curious thing, actually not so curious, makes a lot of sense. We pursue those things that we perceive to be good. You might say that we have a tendency towards the good. So if that is the case, we all just do what is good, everyone loves each other, and the world has no problems, case goes, right?
Right.
But is it like that? No. Why is the world as broken as it is? Why is it that our society has become fragmented to the point that people of good faith even have difficult times speaking to one another? And the answers to these questions are many and complex, but I think they boil down to how we approach what is good. Probably the biggest issue is that we confuse what is good with what is best. We think something that is good is the absolute best thing in the world, and so then we get stuck. There's nothing wrong with having good things or even enjoying good things. It only becomes a problem when a lesser good takes over our entire worldview. And this is the essence of idolatry. The idea that something that's good is the be-all and end-all. And thankfully, we have someone like St. Francis who sets an example that we can follow. It's our patron today that we're celebrating, so let me take a good look at him. He was born into a lucky family. Francis was the son of a silk merchant. Early in his life, he enjoyed spending money lavishly and having the finest clothes and the richest food. Twice he enlisted in an army to fight in wars. He was going for glory at this point. He wanted to be a top soldier. Everyone think well of him. So what we can see from this period of life, see if he had abundance of the goods, wealth, pleasure, and even seeking glory. It's debatable if the last one is an actual good, but we can say that it serves towards others, having a good reputation based on honesty and integrity. Those are goods. Those are good things. You can easily say that Francis had a lot going for him, but somehow it wasn't enough. He knew there was something deep in his soul that wasn't being fulfilled. And that's an experience that's common to all of us. St. Augustine of Hippo would like to say that, Lord, our hearts are always restless until they find their rest in thee. The problem is when we face the lesser good and face what's best, that we are never completely satisfied. And if we don't recognize what is best, we keep trying to fill that God-shaped hole with other things, and they never quite work. The lesser good always demand more. We actually have a few other stories about St. Francis, about his conversion experiences within life, about how he approached things. And it's really interesting seeing the change in his physical way of being, his physical way of living. Because at first, you can see that he was wealthy, he had all these great things by worldly standards. And then when he had his conversion experience, he renounced all of that and embraced what we call Lady Poverty. Matter of fact, somebody asked him once if he was ever going to get married, and he said, oh yes, but it's a maiden you know nothing about, referring to Lady Poverty. There was one time, leading up to this, and he was so moved by a poor beggar that he chased after him and gave him all the money that was in his pockets. Oh, here you go. There was another occasion, he had a vision of Christ telling him to repair his church. And he took that very literally in the local church where he was staying. And so his first attempt to do this, he borrowed some of the silk from his father's merchant business, went and sold it on his own, and attempted to give the money to the local parish. Knowing where the money came from, the local priest wasn't too happy about receiving it, and his father was quite unhappy with what he did. The thing was that drove Francis during these times was a growing devotion to God. Implore and gain the presence of the Eucharist. As time went by, he sought more and more to be in the presence of God and to love the things that God loves. His devotion was so strong that he was able to happily forsake the worldly goods of wealth, pleasure, and honor. That's kind of the key to his life, is that he did it willingly, he was happy about it, because his soul was so full of something else. His soul was so filled with the ultimate good of God that everything else paled in comparison. In the gospel story today, Jesus tells us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This is a statement that really needs some unpacking. Because we might hear the word yoke and think we're talking about eggs. Tell it mine, I suppose, we're easy. But Jesus wasn't talking about eggs. The yoke in this case is actually a piece of wood carved out that would put over the shoulders of an oxen. And so an oxen could pull a cart, they could pull a plow, do the kind of things that they were supposed to do. Of course, through this imagery, like a lot of Christ's imagery, makes us stop and think. As human beings, we are far from being beasts of burden, even if that burden is easy. It could be, however, that Christ is telling us just how natural it is when we put him first, when we put God first. When we come to Christ, we have come to the Father. We approach God, who is the ultimate good. And when we have the ultimate good, what is best in that proper place in our souls, the other lesser goods can easily fall into their proper orders. I remember a time when I was in high school, I was fortunate enough to play football. I was on the football team. And I say fortunate because I thought it made me look cool and tough. And I would kind of walk around, strut through the hallways in our jerseys. But our team had a pretty significant problem. And that was we had a very difficult time scoring touchdowns. Pretty key part to the game. It's tough to win a game when you're struggling to put points up on the board. There are other parts of the game that we were pretty good at. Run the ball fairly well. Passed okay, but it usually happened when we got between 10 and 5 yards from the end zone, the other team would stop us. We would just have to settle for a field goal instead of a touchdown. You'd probably say that we struggled with the most important part of the game, scoring touchdowns. If we had that down, everything else would have made a lot more sense. It'd be easy to look at someone like St. Francis who put God first. He's forsaken all others, and think maybe he's out of reach. Or is this just somebody irrelevant because I couldn't possibly do what St. Francis did? But the point of the saint isn't to give us an impossible standard, to inspire us. The point of the saint is not to say that we need to be exactly like them, but for them to show us what is possible as human beings. They are special gifts meant to inspire. Certain people have been given these gifts so that we can look to them and maybe make some changes within our own lives. So if St. Francis can inspire us to live a spiritual life and put God first, what might that look like? How can we pursue our own spirituality without getting overwhelmed by the example of what's possible? The best piece of advice I can give take it one step at a time. The good news about spiritual life is that you don't have to get it perfect the first time, though none of us actually do. But as long as each week, each day, we put one foot in front of the other, perhaps doing a little bit better than you did before, you're going to be all right. A good start is always to commit to weekly Eucharist at the church. Now that's foundational. Then you can add personal devotion, or a daily prayer service that we offer on Facebook. The idea is to start with something that is possible. Just like St. Francis proved in his adoration of the Eucharist, we grow in our adoration of God through our prayer life. So start with something possible, something that's also going to stretch you, and then take one more step as time to grow some more. We can admire someone like St. Francis because of this example. And that example does not have to be out of reach. All the pride and also put God first in our own lives, enjoy the good things of this life in their proper places. There will always be a time and place for the things of this world, and they can be rightly thought of as good, truly most of them. There are many things that can be thought of as good. But when we start treating the good as if it were the best, then things get severely off track. The yoke is no longer easy, and the burden is no longer light. But when we do, as St. Francis did, put God first, we have the opportunity to put things in their proper order. God's best